What a blessing to share worship with you today. Just to watch you worship has just warmed my heart all morning long, and the youth in the front row, and wow, it's awesome. I'm as surprised to be here in this spot this morning as you are to see me. In the course of this period of time in our church, the guys asked me to speak on Jonah this Sunday. And I decided to obey, which is ironic because the topic is obedience. But I was very tempted to search for Tarshish. But I'm here, and I'm glad because I really don't want to be swallowed by a big fish. So I'm going to choose to obey today. It's neat to be at this point in this study and to get to this point where God gives Jonah a second chance, and that's what we're going to talk about. But the whole fish thing is just amazing, and I am taken with the ocean in a unique way. I'm a scuba diver. I love the underwater stuff, and I've been watching a show recently called Pacific Warriors. And these are guys in Hawaii who are taking up the old sport of fishing on a kayak, and they're out there in the ocean alone a lot of times on a kayak, and they're going for the big fish. It's like a contest to get the 100-pound tuna. They just have these amazing records that they set, and it's crazy stuff that they do, and it's scary, and it's dangerous. And they showed an episode where this guy has this big fish on the line, and he's reeling it in, and it's almost to the boat. And he's just got this catch, and here comes a shark, and just grabs the fish and just yanks it down, and the line's going, and he's just holding on, and the shark says, "There goes my fish," and it's down, 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 just like Jonah. And I think he just dropped the line and just let it go. Just amazing to think of what Jonah went through, really, to be down there on the bottom. And you know what? I can just imagine, you know, being inside that fish and the seaweed and the car parts floating around and whatever it was. It's like, oh, God, whatever you say, let me out of here. I'll do it. I'll do it. But you know what? Jonah was a rebel. He wanted his own way. God told him to do something, and he didn't want to do it because he didn't agree with God. The point is this, that Jonah, he just had feelings about these Nineveh people. He knew they were wicked. He knew they were evil. He knew that they had all kinds of lies and violence and sensuousness and sin, idolatry in their city, and that their soldiers were infamous for cruelty and hatred. And Jonah knew through the prophets that one day that city would be used to destroy Israel. And Jonah loved his country. He was an Israelite, and he did not like the people of Nineveh, and he didn't want to obey to God. He just didn't want to. He thought he had a better plan, so he decided to run away. So here's the map of where Jonah went. He got on the boat on that right-hand side of the Mediterranean Sea near Nineveh, and he went all the way through the Mediterranean Sea to Tarshish. Now that's 2,200 miles. That's a long way. That's not like from Lathrop to Fresno. He went from Lathrop to Chicago. He was trying to. And it was just a long way. He just didn't want to obey. He had his own agenda. He had a better idea. So he ended up in the fish and had a sea bottom experience. It wasn't mountaintop. Definitely was not. And he talks about it in Jonah chapter 2, what he was going through. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountain, I sank down, and the earth beneath barred me in forever. There's mountains in the ocean. And when you scuba dive, you go down cliffs sometimes. Not all as far as Jonah did, but maybe about 50, 60, 70, 80 feet. And it was an uncomfortable place. And he prayed to the Lord for deliverance. And the Lord was gracious and kind and let that fish spew him out onto dry ground. And so we come to chapter 3, and that's our study for today. A study on obedience. Jonah 3, 1 through 3 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." God gives us second chances. He doesn't ask it to do something just once. It's more than once. "A second time he said, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you.' And Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh." Finally, after trying to run off and hide at the end of the world, because you know what? That distance from Nineveh to Tarshish was the whole world as they knew it at that day. So he had tried to go to the end of the world to get away from God. And he almost sunk a ship full of innocent sailors who didn't have any rebellion toward God at all. And after spending 3 days in the fish, getting an attitude adjustment, he finally decided, I think it's time to obey God. And God gives us second chances, and what a gift that is. Because we're human, and it's hard to just think like God thinks and do what God says. Isn't it great when God gives you a second chance to do what you should already be doing? I don't know if that's ever happened in your life, but it's happened in mine. So let's talk about obedience. Why is it so hard to obey God? Why? Because it's not our basic human nature. If you've ever had a toddler, you know this. This morning, as we were rehearsing, Colton, who's 2 and a half, was very definitely having a basic human nature at the beginning. And he finally got distracted by something. I don't know what, but my daughter was telling me the story of her 2-year-old, Tirza. They were in her room, cleaning her room together one day, and Tirza said, she's doing the various chores that Mom told her to do, and she finally looked up at her mother and said, Mom, Mommy, I can't wait till I grow up. And Heather said, why is that, Tirza? Because then I won't have to do what you tell me to do anymore. At the age of 2. I mean, really? Yeah, that's who we are by nature, and it starts young. It's difficult to obey because we are willful and we are proud. We have comfortable habits. We like the ways we do things. We have possessions. We have lifestyles. We're selfish. We don't want to give up things. Sometimes we just feel we know better than God. We can handle whatever we're dealing with in life. I got this, God. I got it. And we don't want to appear weak to other people sometimes. We just don't want to appear weak. And sometimes that niggling voice of the Holy Spirit is just kind of an annoying thing that we want to ignore. I want to remind you this morning that the Holy Spirit is your best friend. And you really need to listen to him. If you're thinking that what you want to do and what your plan is better than God's, you need to think again. But we can so easily go to that place. I remember a time in Rich and I have been married 42 years this year, and I remember a time a number of years ago when we just got a mindset in our head about some business things in our life. They weren't spiritual issues, but they were some things that we got an idea in our head, and we didn't want to tell anybody about it. We were quiet about it. I don't know if you've ever been in that position where you're thinking something or you're getting ready to do something, you've been doing something you don't want anybody to know. That's the Holy Spirit in your life telling you you're making a mistake. And when you decide to disregard that, you end up with consequences. And we did. And they have been long-term consequences that we've had to face because we made poor choices, because we didn't want to listen to the Holy Spirit. And you know, sometimes it isn't even a spiritual issue. For us, that wasn't. But it has affected our lives because of the choice that we made. Sometimes we just want to suppress that voice and say, I want my way, I think I'm right, I know best what I need, and I can handle this. And that's what God calls pride. Pride. God hates pride. Pride says, I know better than God, and God hates that. It's a sin. And in Proverbs 8:13, he says straight out, I hate pride and arrogance. Isaiah 2:17, the arrogance of man will be brought low and human pride humbled. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Watch out, world. Those of you who think you are prideful and can do whatever you want all over the world to the cost of whomever, as we have seen this week, look out. God's going to have his day. He is going to have his day. 1 Peter 4:5 says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Know that you are in the gracious hands of God when you humbly submit to him. One of the reasons we have difficulty obeying is because we fear failure. Oh, it's so human. It was hard for me to come here today and talk to you because I fear failure just like all of you do. God asks us to serve in a way that we think we might not be comfortable. He asks us to do something that's a stretch, and we're afraid. This happened with the Israelites. They felt that way. And God tried to encourage them in Deuteronomy 7:6-9. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He's the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. And we line up right with those thousands of generations. We are that downline. And God is just as faithful to us. He chooses us as he chose Israel, not because we're the most numerous or powerful or the strongest or the smartest, but because he loves us and he wants us. And he's faithful to his promises because he promised Abraham way back, and that flows right down into our lives. When God asks you to do something, he's going to do it for you and through you. He's going to give you more than you need, way more than you'd even expect. That's a promise. You know what? Quite often the difference between you and somebody God really uses, one thing, they showed up. That's it. They showed up. Said, okay, God, it's not some big fancy mystery. We need to ditch the fear of failure and show up. When we don't believe God's promises, we are despising and rejecting them. That might sound harsh, but Philippians 4:13 says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Do we believe the word or do we not believe the word? Do we choose which verses we believe and which verses we don't believe? I can do all things, but this one thing that I know I can't do through Christ who strengthens me. We do that. We all do that. God's word is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And believing half of it is not half faith. Believing half of God's word is total, complete doubt. His word is his word. Sometimes it's hard to obey because we want to please people more than we want to please God. And that is so, so prevalent in our world nowadays. There is so much pressure on us to conform. There is so much pressure to be politically correct, to not say anything that would offend anyone. And, you know, tolerance is way more popular than conviction. And people don't like it when you stand up for your faith or if you have an opinion that is not loose like theirs, progressive in today. And sometimes in a different vein, we struggle when God puts something in our heart that he wants us to do that isn't in agreement with people around us who love us. That can happen. Sometimes God tells you he wants to do something that isn't comfortable for somebody else for you. They're like, I don't know if God really wants you to do that. Or sometimes God convicts you of something that somebody else isn't convicted of for you. We have to listen to the Lord individually because he ministers to us individually through the Holy Spirit. When I was 18, I went through a situation like this. I was trying to pick a college, and I knew that God was leading me in my heart to serve him with my life through music. I knew specifically he wanted me to study voice. And my dad was a minister, and I'd grown up in the church with him, and I was very, 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 very close to my dad. My mom was very sick for many years, and my dad and I were just glued together, holding each other up. And he wanted one of his kids to go to the church school, which was it was the National Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches, and the school was Grace College and Seminary in Winona Lake, Indiana. Now, there were four of us kids. My two older brothers went to Wheaton College. My older sister went to Grace School for a year. Sorry, Charlene. I know you're listening online. She flunked everything but marriage and the family. And quit, and went home and married her high school sweetheart. Now, Rich and I were dating in high school at the time that I was choosing a college. And my dad was fearful that I would make my sister's same mistake. And I remember the day we were in the car, and I said, Daddy, I really think God is calling me to Moody. And I want to apply. It's only $5 to apply. And he looked at me and he said, it's a waste of $5. I was crushed to the core. I wanted so badly to please my dad. I wanted to please God and my dad too. Why did it have to be so difficult? And then I went to Rich and we talked about this and he said, you know, I'm at Moody and I don't think we should go to the same school. And I said, well, then you're going to have to leave. And you know what happened? I listened to God. I went to the school. I finished the course. My dad was proud. Rich and I were blessed to be married at the end of all of that, and God worked it all out. So when God's really stirring in your heart and you know that you know that you know, you listen. Because he'll show that at the end of the day. Another reason it's difficult to obey is because we're not disciplined. I don't know about you, but I have days when I just don't feel like it. I don't want to get out of bed. I just don't, but I do. But maybe I don't want to get off the couch. I don't want to deal with another problem. I don't want to do the chores that are laid out before me. There are days, I'm sure you're way more spiritual than me, and you never feel like this, but there are days when I don't feel like praying or reading my Bible. And if the only time I ever did it was when I felt like it, Satan would make sure that I never prayed or never read my Bible at all. Sometimes we just have to choose discipline in what we're doing. Choose to do it because we know what it is. Sometimes we don't feel like it, but maturity is when we follow our commitments and our convictions, not our feelings. That's maturity. Dump the feelings and do what you're supposed to do. It's easy to get trapped in our feelings, totally easy. And you know what? The difference between successful and unsuccessful people is the people who are successful chose to do what the unsuccessful are just refusing to do. They just don't want to. It's too hard. Paul talked to you a few weeks ago about the Olympic runner who spent his whole life training for an 8-second race. Sometimes it just takes that kind of dedicated discipline and commitment. You're not going to become a godly woman or a godly man or a godly young person by doing what you feel like. You're going to become godly by developing habits in your life that you just do, whether you feel like it or not, because they're habits that you know are solid and God has called you to do them. There's a great example in the Bible of somebody who did that. And I think he's real inspiration to all of us, and that is Moses. He led a group of people around the desert for 40 years who were crying, squabbling, whining toddlers who never, ever believed in his leadership. They questioned it the whole time. And he stayed faithful to God, and he stayed on task and did what God told him to do. What a great example. It's hard to obey sometimes because it requires sacrifice. You know, we talk about the nation of Israel, and God sent Jonah to Nineveh for their spiritual welfare, but he also sent him there to shame Israel. Israel didn't care about the nations surrounding them. They didn't want to reach out to them and share the gospel. They were happy to just keep it within their own country. And so because they refused, God had to send an individual because the group wouldn't do it. Sometimes God asks us to do things, and even in our own church, even where we are in our daily life, and we're just like, well, you know what? I've got my own family, and I've got my own concerns, and it's not really convenient, and it's hard to fit it in, and so maybe later. Maybe later I'll serve God, because now it's just not a good time. We don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to pay the price, and we think we're not important. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Every one of us is needed. We all have a role we need to fill. We need to find it. We need to do it. You might feel like, oh, I'm not as fancy as somebody else, or I'm not as significant as somebody else, or I can't do it as well as somebody else, so therefore you don't. Sometimes when it comes to giving, which we don't talk a lot about at our church, sometimes when it comes to giving, we feel like, well, I don't have much, so I can't give. Well, if we have a whole bunch of us who don't have much, who don't give, that adds up to a whole lot of no giving. And how do we make the church happen without the funds to fund it? How do we preach the gospel to people? How do we keep the doors open? Everybody's important. You know, the most important light in my house is not the chandelier in the entryway, as beautiful as it is and as much of a hassle it is to clean. It's not the most important light. The most important light is the night light that keeps me from stubbing my toe when I wake up. So don't feel like you're not significant enough. You're very important. What happens when one part of your body decides doesn't want to work anymore. Consider that. Just suppose that your liver said, I'm tired of doing my job. Somebody else can do my job. I just need a year off to be fed. So I'm going to do that, and you guys just figure it out. Well, your body would die, wouldn't it? It would totally die. And you know what? Today, thousands of local churches are dying because people in them don't want to do anything. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that God has given us a job to do, and he's designed us for it, and he wants us to do it. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He created you to do things that he's already prepared for you to do. And when you serve others in any way at all, you're actually serving God. Wow. That we can actually serve God is pretty incredible. It's difficult to obey because we want control. I think that's one of the biggest challenges of all. My daughter will tell you, she thinks I'm a control freak. There are days when I just thought, well, should you just do it my way? But we can be that way. And when we're controlling, we're not trusting. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good for those who are called, you know, and who love God and are called according to his purpose. And we know this, but we continually feel the urge to stop trusting and manage things ourselves. Why? Why is it so hard for us to let go? Why can't we trust in God? Romans 8:31, 32 says, if God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He gave his son for us, the most precious thing he had. He's going to give us everything that we need in every situation. I grew up with a song that went like this. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Those words are still good words. That's the bottom line. To hear and understand the word of God but not obey it is to deceive ourselves into thinking that we have grown spiritually when we're actually moving backwards. Let me say that to you again. To hear and to understand God's word and choose not to obey it is to deceive ourselves into thinking we're growing spiritually when we're actually moving backwards. If you don't believe me, here it is in James. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, James 1:22. Don't just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and sees his hair is all a mess, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like and says, who cares? We do this. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Trust God. Give up control. Obey. I'm speaking to me too this morning. I know. All these things, I struggle with them. Everything I've talked to you about this morning, I struggle with. And lastly, we don't always find it easy to obey because we really don't see the big picture. And if we just could, I know it'd be easier, but that isn't how God designed it. But let me give you an example of just thinking about that. I read recently about a woman who was 39 years old. Her name was Joanne. And this is a true story. She, because of birth defects, has had tunnel vision about that much, just very tiny, nothing peripheral her whole life, and very minimal hearing. In fact, no hearing. It's like underwater. She'd hear, you know, it's just nothing. Very little. And so she went through a surgery to get cochlear implants, which is a surgery to give her hearing. And after they did it, it took 30 days for them to know if it worked or not. And on the day of, you know, reckoning, they hooked up 22 electrodes to each ear, to a computer, to a hearing aid, to see if it worked. And the doctor, Louise, looked at Joanne and said, can you hear me? And Joanne was like, what? And she realized, all my life I've been reading lips and I see what's on the lips, but this is sound. This is really sound. I've never heard sound before. Blown away, and it just like bouncing around in her brain, trying to process it all. And she said, you know, what I've known my entire life, I'm hearing for the first time, so ordinary, yet to me, the words are so beautiful. And she was just in shock. And everything was high-pitched and squeaky and odd, and the doctor said, you know, that's all going to settle down, just give it some time. But one of the most overwhelming moments when she heard this voice in her head, and she was speaking, and that's what my voice sounds like. I never knew. And then they went to leave the hospital, and she said to her mom, who was with her, what's that noise? That's a phone ringing. What's that other noise? The clank, clank, clank. Oh, that's the food trolley going by. And they walked out the door, and the March wind was blowing around, and the leaves were like whooshing. And she's like, I had no idea that the wind made sound. Oh, my goodness. And then they went to a restaurant, and the clanking of all the dishes and the people's conversations and everything that went on, she put down her own glass and used her fork, and she said, I'm a noisy eater. I had no idea. I didn't know that the liquid in your glass would make noise with the ice. I thought everything was silent. I thought when I put my glass down, it was silent. Overwhelming to see what she'd never seen before. And she and her mom got back to the hotel, and her mom hung up her coat, and she looked at her mom, and she goes, would you please just be quiet? Just too much. But you know what? We can't see as God sees. We can't hear as God hears. We can't know as God knows. We can't think as God thinks. And we won't be able to until we're in heaven one day. But he's promised us that we'll see one day. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we only see a reflection as in a mirror, and then we're going to see face to face. Now I know in part, then I'll know fully, even as I am fully known. God gets it that you don't get it. He gets it. He understands. And that's why he gives us second chances, because we don't get it the first time. He's patient. He gives us a chance to trust him and do things his way. 2 Peter 3:9, as we're wrapping up, says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. No, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And I love the verse in Romans where it says, where sin had abounded, grace abounded even more. The more you sin, the more grace he gives. The more you rebel, the more grace he gives. And I am so thankful for that verse right now, because I've got a couple of kids up in Seattle who've turned their back on God. And they're going through a phase, and they know better. One of them has a degree in biblical studies. The stuff we're dealing with today is beyond what I ever, ever thought I would face in my lifetime. I have a list of things that have gone wrong in people I love this year that is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. And it's like, God, where are you? He's got it. He's got it. We have to trust him. So, Jonah, being given a second chance. Thank you, God, for second chances. Finally obeyed. And it says in Jonah 3, 1 through 3, we heard it before, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. I have been thinking about speaking to you for 2 months because it's not my comfort zone to be here, so I started early. And as I've gone through this series of Nineveh and Jonah and all this stuff, I've been taking notes and thinking a lot. And what has struck my heart the most, what is my Nineveh? What is my Nineveh? My Nineveh was you today. Who's this up here? But I'm here because God said obey. And you have a Nineveh in your life. We all do. What are you running from? What's convicting you? What do you want to silence? You've seen the whole list this morning. Selfish desires, fear, failure, wanting to please yourself, struggling to sacrifice, discipline, control, pleasing people. Are you hearing the word of God and doing nothing? Are you deluding yourself into thinking you're going spiritually forward because you're hearing the word when you're really going spiritually backward because you're not taking any action? I want to ask the band to come forward as we close this morning. I believe that God is calling us all to change. I know he is in my heart. And I don't know what God's speaking to you about today. I don't know what, from that list that I gave you, I don't know what it is for you. But I want to ask you to put feet to your faith this morning. If there's something in your heart that you just want to say, God, I want to give this to you. I want you to deal with this. I want to obey you with this. I want to start listening to you. I want to take some action. I'd like you to come forward as we sing, I Surrender. If you're deciding to really surrender something in your life to God this morning, whatever it is, I want you to step up here and stand in front of this platform and acknowledge that between you and God, just to take some start of action. And when we're all finished singing I Surrender, Mike Strong will just pray over all of us and dedicate this morning to the Lord. But I just want to challenge you this morning. Don't read the word and walk away. Let God speak to you. Amber, will you pray for us?
Father God, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for Glenna, for her heart, and the way that you have given her the ability to just to share and be so transparent. It's a gift you've given her, God, and I know that over the years, as I've known her, that I've been so touched by her words, and I just appreciate her listening and obeying and coming and sharing today to all of us. She really nailed some points, God, that I know personally I'm struggling with, and I'm sure there's some of us here today that just fight this issue of obedience. God, I just ask that you would not allow us to shut our ears off as we leave this place today, that this would sear our souls this week, that it would make a profound impact as we go throughout our week, that we'd be thinking about those areas that we just kind of refuse to let go to obey you, God. It's tough. Because ultimately, I know for myself that sometimes I just think I know better than you, but you have proven over and over and over again that I do not. God, you are a Lord of perfect love, and you want to give us a life that is full and abundant. So please don't let us in our humanness get in your way. I know that we don't mean to, God, and we have a tendency to muck things up, but Jesus, despite ourselves, please infiltrate our hearts, use us, help us not to forsake the gathering of this body, to find ways to be useful here, God, in our home church. I just ask that as we sing this next song and close, that you would move those of us to the front that you know it's hard for us to get up and walk, even if we're not making some loud verbal declaration. The act sometimes of coming forward is tough. It means that we're relinquishing something to you that we want to hold on to. And that's hard because our pride is strong, and you know that. So, Father God, get us up and move us if that's what we need to do. Thank you so much again for your word, Father God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Surrender. Father, I pray that that is our desire to surrender. God, that we would surrender it all. Lord, I pray for those that have stepped forward here this morning, God, that they would truly feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit, God, that that is what's leading them to, God, make a change, to become obedient. Lord, I pray that for myself and for just everybody here, Lord, that we would make a commitment to be obedient to you, to surrender it all. That's where it begins, God. We just thank you so much for this time. Thank you for Glenna's words. God, thank you for the conviction I know that was felt here today. We love you, Lord. We just thank you and pray that as we move forward from today, God, that your Holy Spirit would be that that leads us. Thank you, God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. We ask for this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, guys, for this morning. If something that was said, something maybe that wasn't said, but you feel led to pray with somebody, Paul and Terry are over here. I want to thank you guys for being here this week. Go out this week. Live through the Holy Spirit. See you guys.